This is a Triple J podcast.
Hey, it's Angel Parsons with you for the Hack Summer podcast. I'm filling in for Dave Marchese, and we're talking about how we get our music. For heaps of us, for years now, it's been Spotify. It's one of the dominant streaming platforms, but last year, a tipping point.
All these news stories around Spotify that then led to me being a bit more critical of why I was still on the platform.
Artists and users began boycotting the music streaming giant, and it was for all sorts of different reasons. Musicians not making enough money, AI music showing up more and more, its CEO investing big bucks into a military startup.
Why am I paying $11, $15 so that the CEO can invest that money I paid to a weapons company?
In this episode, we find out, do boycotts make a difference? What does this groundswell mean for Spotify's influence in the music industry?
You know, we're seeing both listeners and artists and prominent artists doing this as well.
Our reporter Ariana Lucente has been delving into why some people are leaving Spotify behind.
As individual small artists, it's hard to strike a massive blow to a company like Spotify, but I think that if a bunch of us are able to get themselves off, then they start to sweat a little.
Melbourne artist Fenn Wilson is boycotting Spotify, and he and his band, Fenn Wilson and the Weather, have company. They're joining Aussie names like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, folk artist Leah Senior, and musician David Bridey, whose full catalogues are now off the platform.
To corrupt something that somebody has made with beautiful intent is unforgivable.
Last year, it was revealed that Spotify's chief exec, Daniel Ek, led a billion-dollar investment in Helsing, a German military AI tech company. He also chairs the company. For some artists and listeners, it was the tipping point.
This narrative that Spotify has been able to push about themselves being better for independent artists wasn't true at all.
There's no doubt about it. Spotify has shaken up listening to music. The company, founded in Sweden, officially launched here in 2012. And podcast producer and music streamer Amy reckons she's been paying for it for a decade. But last year, she cancelled her subscription and deleted the account.
The actions of the CEO, Daniel Ek, definitely played a big part.
That was the last straw for me.
Hero is another Spotify user who has quit. He's also involved in the BDS movement. Boycott, divest, and sanction.
If I don't want to buy a canned beverage because its parent company invests a lot in Israel, why am I paying $11, $15 so that the CEO can invest that money I paid to a weapons company?
The growing use of AI and AI-generated music on Spotify has also been part of the backlash.
Hearing that it's a possibility that you could be duped into listening to something that was created by an algorithm, I didn't like that possibility.
A band called The Velvet Sundown released their debut album on Spotify in June, appearing on some users' Discover Weekly playlists. But the band wasn't labelled, at the time, as AI. And with 300,000 monthly listeners, there's concern about what this means for competition and discovering real artists who already struggle making money on the app. Spotify's launch signalled the end of the piracy era and the start of subscription streaming.
It felt like if you weren't on Spotify, then you may as well not release it.
But Hero and Amy reckon it has totally changed our listening habits to something quick.
My brain is just wired to prioritise the convenience and the immediacy of it.
And passive.
We have all at one point used music as a motivational tool or something in the background to try and keep us focused.
And it's impacting how we perceive the value of music, especially when a single song stream can make the artist less than 0.01 cents. Or you can have a free account with ads.
It used to be $25 for a CD or something. The fact that Spotify is paying as much as they are now has diluted the value of music. And to a certain degree, that's irreversible.
So what are the boycotters using instead? Apart from collecting and listening to vinyl records, Hero uses Bandcamp and sometimes YouTube, while Amy and Fenn switch to Tidal. But they reckon changing streaming services won't actually fix some of music's deeper problems.
I would love to see the government set a minimum rate so that if there are these streaming platforms that come along and want Australian artists, then this is how much you've got to pay them. That would be a dream.
Would you ever go back to Spotify?
I don't think I'll go back to it.
At this point, I don't think so.
No. No.
Hack on Triple J.
Ariana Lachente reporting there, and Ariana reached out to Spotify to comment on her story. She asked them a bunch of questions. Spotify said it couldn't comment on the personal investments of its CEO. It also said that Australian artists generated more than $300 million in royalties last year, and that more than half of those royalties were by independent artists or independent labels. So we're going to keep talking about this more now with Dr. Sophie Freeman, a researcher of music streaming and algorithmic recommendation at the University of Melbourne. Hey, Sophie, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
Sophie, as we just heard, hearing more and more people saying they are boycotting Spotify, but it is for a lot of reasons. I mean, how long has this trend been building up?
Absolutely. I think we're at a bit of a tipping point right now. People are definitely making the switch, you know, due to the news that Daniel Ek, CEO, is investing in AI battle tech. But you're right, this has been going on for a long time. And I think there are a lot of compelling reasons why people might have previously been, you know, taking their music off of Spotify or unsubscribing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 2014. That's a long time ago now. But, you know, Taylor Swift took her whole catalogue off of Spotify in protest of the, you know, super low royalty rates that artists were getting. And they still are, of course, which is another big reason that people might be boycotting. Also, you know, we're seeing a lot of more and more AI music being platformed on Spotify. Other controversies around things like songs with less than 1,000 streams being demonetized, you know, which affects a lot of smaller artists on the platform. And I highly recommend anyone that's interested in this topic, if you go to look at Liz Pelly's book, Mood Machine, she talks a lot about perfect fit content or playlist fillers made by ghost artists, right? So that's lots of compelling reasons why people might have taken their music off. One other thing that I'd add there too is the sheer volume of music that is going up on streaming platforms, not just Spotify, every day. There's different estimates, but I've seen usually it's about 100,000 songs every single day. For artists, you know, the promise of getting discovered on Spotify is kind of not being fulfilled now because of the saturation and all of those reasons. So
yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about next, is that we are hearing from people, they're finding it increasingly harder to discover new music now on Spotify. It's like, you know, you'll use like the go-to radio function or different playlists, and it does seem like you're being fed the same songs. That's what we're hearing. Like, has Spotify changed their algorithms maybe?
I'm hearing the same thing too in my research, and I'm certainly, you know, when I was still using Spotify, I was seeing that myself. Spotify is always changing their recommender system they have right from the beginning. And I think what a lot of people are seeing is, yeah, that's the same music kind of getting served up over and over again, no matter what feature you're using. And Spotify is always adding new features in, but seeing the same music, not discovering the artists, not having the listening experience that, you know, people want to have. They're very secretive, of course, about what is absolutely going on under the hood, but we can kind of put it together. What I would say is really going on, though, is that the main goal of Spotify and all platforms, really, this isn't just a Spotify thing, is to keep us on the platform, keep us engaged, right? And the best way to do that is to give us safe and familiar content. Because if they serve up something that's like a little bit too outside of your taste or too, you know, too out there, then people might leave and go to another service. So I'd say that that's the main thing that's going on there.
Yeah, it feels like a broader trend that happens, you know, even just on social media as well. Mm. Like, you'll be fed content that is similar to what you've liked before and that fits with your ideas about the world. And it's like this bubble, I guess, that we're now seeing on other platforms like Spotify.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a real shame too, because it is an impressive piece of technology. It definitely has the ability to help us to find music, but it's not doing that. And it's really affecting the people's listening experiences. And in Australia as well, we're seeing Australian artists are not well represented on streaming services, you know, so both artists and listeners are really missing out.
Another thing that Spotify has recently rolled out is this messaging feature. Lots of people have kind of been calling it the social mediaification of music streaming.
Yeah.
What's your take on all that? Is it necessarily a bad thing for them to be reinventing themselves like this and having some more of those social media traits?
Yeah, I mean, whether it's good or bad, it feels a little bit early to say. I think that there are a number of platforms around, music platforms around the world that do have kind of social features, and music is often very social. You know, we like to connect and share things. What I would say is that I think in the case of Spotify with this particular feature, it's less about connection and again, more about engagement, meaning that, you know, they're keeping people within the platform. They're also going to be getting some really great data of everything that we say about music in those messages. That's going to be really, really useful to them. So whether it's good or bad, Angela, I'm not sure yet, but I'll definitely be keeping an eye on it.
And whether it's good or bad, we are hearing that, you know, people are deciding to leave that platform and go elsewhere. Do you think that Spotify would be worried about people boycotting them? Like with any platform, does boycotting have any power?
Yeah, I mean, that is a big question. I'm sure they're aware of it. Whether they're worried, I couldn't say or not. We used the word groundswell at the beginning, and I certainly feel that it is, you know, we're seeing both listeners and artists and, you know, and prominent artists doing this as well. They'd certainly be taking notice. But I think that in order for it to be really impactful, we'll need to be organized and we'll need to have some, you know, kind of clear demands and outcomes. But I do think that Spotify will be, they'll definitely be keeping their eye on it.
And when we look at the music landscape and what other kind of platforms and services are out there, where would people be going instead? You know, Spotify's been a part of people's lives for so long. Are these platforms that they're turning to doing any better?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably answer the question in a couple of ways. So there's certainly other streaming platforms out there and people are switching to those. In terms of features and the interface, there's like small differences between them. It's, you know, really personal choice which ones you like best there. And again, like catalogs in terms of the music they have on there are relatively the same. I would say when it comes to how much they pay out to rights holders and artists, there's not really that much difference between all of them. I think if you want to be supporting artists, which I know a lot of people do, the best thing you can do is, you know, buy music directly and go to a place like, you know, the artist Bandcamp. It's not a streaming platform, but you can preview there or buy directly from them, you know, merch and music at shows. So there definitely are alternatives as well. You know, the Humble Record Store, I know a lot of that's definitely something that a lot of people, particularly young people, are getting into, and the radio, internet radio and so on. So there's lots of ways that we can get music, and there's certainly alternative platforms out there.
Yeah, I was going to mention radio, which of course. I would. Does this kind of go to show why other services and technologies like radio are still important?
I think so. And I mean, I'm really interested in curation as well and curators. And I think that that is something that people are really connected to, because Spotify is a lot of programmed or algorithmically recommended music that's put into playlists. I think that people are really drawn to a human person putting together music and hearing their stories, because music is really personal.
Well, I'm sure that's good news for me and others in music radio. For a lot of us, we've been using Spotify for so long, and I guess our music listening habits were really developed on that app and are really entrenched. Is it pretty hard to leave?
I would actually say it's so easy now. I mean, I totally agree. It's really, it feels like we're very entrenched. I had, I think, 250 playlists that I had made on Spotify over the years, and I was worried about porting them over. But there's plenty of third-party apps that you can use, or services that you can use for a small fee. It'll take all of your music over all your playlists. So it's actually really easy to make the switch.
Dr. Sophie Freeman, researcher in music streaming and algorithmic recommendation at the University of Melbourne. This is a big issue, and we're so grateful for you coming in and breaking it all down with us today. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
Summer Hack on Triple J.
It'll be really interesting to see how Spotify responds to some of this stuff this year. And we mentioned that Aussie band King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard were one of the first to take their music off the platform. Well, since then, an AI band under the name King Lizard Wizard appeared on the platform with AI versions of the band's psychedelic rock songs. I'm talking identical song titles, even artwork that seems to mimic the band's album artworks. Well, the AI band has now been removed from Spotify. But with labels Universal and Warner now partnering with AI music software companies, what will this mean for the major streamers? Some big questions and ones we will definitely be keeping an eye on this year. How it'll affect artists, copyrighted works. But that's all for now on the Hack Summer podcast. Hack will be back on the radio and of course in your podcast feeds from Tuesday, the 27th of January. Catch ya. Hack.